Report. The UN Security Council has just voted against a U.S. proposed resolution declaring an immediate ceasefire in Gaza imperative. Russia and China both vetoed. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
It's really outrageous, and it's below the dignity of this body. It's also petty. Russia and China simply did not want to vote for a resolution that was penned by the United States because it would rather see us fail than to see this council succeed.
Before the vote, she explained,
we want to see an immediate and sustained ceasefire as part of a deal that leads to the release of all hostages being held by Hamas and other groups, and that will allow much more life-saving humanitarian aid to get into Gaza.
U.S. defeat comes as Secretary of State Blinken meets with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel for talks on a ceasefire and hostage release. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Political advertisements in Wisconsin with content made by artificial intelligence will now have to have a disclaimer. The bipartisan bill is designed to help voters decide whether what they see is true or not. It's one of 54 bills Governor Evers signed into law yesterday. Wisconsin voters could add two amendments to the state constitution on April 2nd. One would outlaw private donations to local election officials. Sam Liebert is with the group All Voting is Local. He's urging people to vote no.
There's so much concern about third-party funding. Let's have that discussion in the state budget, at our local levels.
The other question would specify who can legally serve as a poll worker in Wisconsin. Democrats say the amendments would make it harder to vote. Republicans say they'd promote election integrity. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. In contrast to the warmer weather that's been creeping into the region, western Wisconsin residents woke up to some snow on the ground on Friday. A winter weather advisory was put into effect overnight through 10 a.m. on Friday, warning that most areas across western Wisconsin would see at least a couple inches of snow. Some weather officials expect the snowfall could be closer to 5 inches in certain areas. They also say some light winds should keep the snow from causing too many visibility problems out on the roads. Electric school buses are now on the road in the Chippewa Valley. The Mondovi School District has announced it is the first school in the region to use electric buses after receiving a federal clean bus grant. Superintendent of the district, Jeff Reichel, says they applied for 5 buses, not knowing if they would get any, but ended up getting all 5 buses and money to install the charging system. Officials say because of the predictability of their daily bus service, they have little concern about the distances the electric buses can cover. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Bucks hold off the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets 115-108. Milwaukee jumped out to a 20-point lead early. Doc Rivers.
The first half, the ball was hopping. It was beautiful. And then we kind of went back to that old, you know, hold the ball, no movement style, which we're talented enough to get away with it, but it's not the way you're going to win in the long run. And we had to play ourselves through that, and I thought we did that.
March Madness, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking on Western Kentucky this afternoon in the NCAA tournament. Tyler Kolek back for Marquette after suffering that strained oblique muscle injury. Tonight, it's the Badgers and James Madison University. Tip-off time, 8:40. Greg Gard on facing JMU's Terrence Edwards.
He's like some of the guys we've seen in our league, just he can score. I mean, he just knows how to find the bottom of the basket. And he's the MVP of that league for a reason.
That's Wisconsin Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Light snow will gradually end this morning, and we may actually see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high today, 36, with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 13. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, clouds in the afternoon, 34, with more snow tomorrow night, and that's going to be the beginning of a fairly significant storm system that'll impact our region into early next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas stations in the Forest
State
area.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass. Man, you go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, our friends at Motherhood for Good on the importance of voting in your local school board races and right-wing takeover attempts.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Darrell Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And what we've been doing today, we're going to keep with that. We've talked about things happening that impact and affect you and I as citizens of this nation. And the fact that, you know, we really have to be informed, Sandy. If ever there was a time that we needed to be informed in this nation, it's now. And if ever there was an easier time, there's never been an easier time to be informed as there is now with all the different technology and the places you can go to really kind of find out what's going on. And here's a prime example. The GOP faces internal battle over raising age for Social Security. Now, you know, when you talk with Republicans, they say, oh, no, we're not talking about Social Security. No. Social Security, nobody's talking about. Yeah, they are. And they have been for some time. And so what Republicans are battling among themselves over is whether to push reforms to reduce Social Security, Sandy, and nobody's arguing and saying that there's not an issue with Social Security. Democrats, anybody who's getting close to age should know by now that there is an issue with Social Security that has been for some time, and it has to be fixed. But the argument and the debate, Sandy, is on how to fix it. And Republicans' idea to fix it is to push back retirement to 67.
That option buys a little time. It pushes out further into time, out into the future, the time when the fund gets so-called upside down. But notice that, you know, there's only two levers you can deal with when you're trying to deal with balancing the Social Security account. One of them is the revenue coming into the Social Security account, and the other one is the expenses, the amount of Social Security payments that are going out. And so the Republican answer is not to increase the revenue. Right now there's a $400,000 income ceiling on the amount of income that's subject to paying FICA, which is the Social Security tax. If that ceiling were lifted, then you wouldn't need to move the retirement age out to 67. You'd have a different effect, a much more extreme income effect. But if you don't do that, then you have to start playing with trying to figure out a way to reduce the benefits being paid out. I suppose the Republicans have a view that they can push retirement age out because the average retirement age in this country is getting is moving up. So they can just simply push the retirement age out. But it might not make a difference to upper middle class and upper income people when they get Social Security. But to the lower income people, the people who are struggling to make ends meet, who are reaching the end of their capacity to be employed when they're in their 60s, moving that retirement age out is a real hardship. And so it's really just a question of who are the Republicans listening to when they make that kind of a proposal. And obviously they're listening to the people who have more income and don't want to pay more taxes and don't really worry about when the retirement income starts.
But Sandy, to be so arrogant, to be talking about it in a presidential election year, Sandy.
Well, I personally think Washington would be more responsible to just simply talk about it all the time, right, so that they could talk about it and solve for it instead of saying what the people want to hear, which is, you know, we're not going to do anything. It's a third rail. Well, it's a third rail only to the extent that benefits being a third rail, but the revenue to it needs to be dealt with.
Well, there's, again, no question. But it's like taking a razor to your throat in a presidential election year, I believe, to say, well, you know, we're going to raise that Social Security retirement, you know, to 67. And so if you're somebody who's, you know, getting close, Sandy, you really don't want to hear that, right? Hey, man, I paid into this. I've done this. This is what you promised me. And so you better deliver for me. You know, we're not asking for something. It's not outlandish to say I'm 60 years old and I'm looking forward to my Social Security. And now all of a sudden you throw a monkey wrench in and say, oh, no, by the way, now you have to wait until you're 67. Well, there are a lot of people who aren't going to. And the people who are saying those things are Republicans. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. Are you awaiting your Social Security?
Am I waiting? I'm way past that.
every month he's waiting. Yeah.
But no, there's two things that I never talked about when it comes to Social Security. Number one, the government got into trouble in other areas several times over the last 50 years. And borrowed money out of Social Security fund and never repaid it. If they would just repay what they borrowed out, we wouldn't be in this dilemma. Secondly, the other part of this is nobody talks about the Railroad Retirement Act, which is exclusive to the politicians and government officials, which pays out more than Social Security.
That's true.
And as far as I know, they pay less in. So, you know, they have a separate fund for themselves. They don't give a damn about the rest of us. That's all. And other than it's snowing.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere. All right. Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Social Security Administrators. Administration Commissioner Martin O'Malley warned that raising retirement age for the program would disproportionately hurt blue-collar workers. The day after the Republican Study Committee released a proposal to raise the age. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. So I've been reading up on this bill a little bit. So one, when they say they're raising it from 65 to 67, if you're close to that age currently or in your 60s, that would not be affected. They're looking more like 15 years down the road. And part of it is the reality is the longevity of people is much greater than it was back, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And people are living longer.
Actually, Dave, let me interrupt you. But actually, life expectancy has gone down, in the last 5 years, so that what you just said there isn't true.
Well, Sandy, and the only reason why that's happened is because we had COVID and because of fentanyl overdoses. So that has had an effect of bringing it down a little bit. I agree with you. That being said, it's still close to, you know, upper 70s, around 80 for women. So at the end of the day, that does also not affect, if you still want to take Social Security earlier at 62, you still will have that ability if you want to collect. I also think, from what I read in the bill as well, that high income earners would actually receive less money and they would be capped like it is currently. So you have to realize that there is definitely, we have to tackle this right now, because 10 years will be here and gone in the blink of an eye. I don't think we disagree with that. But at the end of the day, we have to look what France did. France has got the same thing, but they have a lower retirement age, and they raised it by a couple of years. And there was people protesting, and there was fires in Paris. And the thing is, it's, I understand that people are saying, well, it's 2 years, but that is not, that would not take an effect for a while. It's not like it's going to change like next
year. Hey, David. So David, let me see this. Let's do this. Hey, Calvin. I don't know where that's coming from. Oh. Okay, it's coming from my laptop. So, Calvin, you're a young guy. Does it bother you that they're saying, well, we're going to raise the Social Security, you know, 15 years from now, and you'll have to wait till you're 67 years old? Is that an issue with you?
Well, yeah, it does bother me a little. And that, well, first off, it is kind of so far off for me. It's kind of even hard to put it in perspective.
Right.
But also when I like see my parents and my grandparents, have they've approached that age and work past that age or live past that age, I don't want to have to work longer than that. Like that, you should be able to have a point in your life where you get to stop working and live your life. And I don't know, it doesn't seem fair to push that up. And then on the life expectancy point, just to say something about that, the life expectancy has only gone up 1 year since 1995. So just to make that point. And that's actually based off 2021, not 2024, I guess.
You know, so I guess, Sandy and Dave, and thank you, Calvin, you know, the point is that it's easy to cavalierly say, well, 10 years from now, we'll raise it and it won't affect people 10 years from now. Well, those people, yeah, it will affect them, and they're not accepting that. Sandy made it clear, and Democrats have made it clear, there's a better way to attack this as opposed to, you know, forcing people to work longer. And Republicans have chosen the other way, and that's what's at the root of it.
Again, I would look at it from the standpoint, there should be a compromise where, at a federal level, we should not be retaxing our Social Security benefits. Now, a lot of states have rescinded taxing Social Security, but at the federal level, it's still there.
Hey, Dave, we got that 844-967-2789. Hang on to the phone lines. We'll return.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness.
For a hand up,
Apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That same number is Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy. And Sandy, before we go back to the phone lines, here was the response. You know, David just talked about the 2 years, and it's not shouldn't be a big deal. This is the response by the Democrats. Americans want their government to strengthen Social Security and expand it, not to cut it, contract it out, or gut its customer service, O'Malley said at a House Ways and Means Committee hearing Thursday. For those who would advocate raising the age, I think we have to be mindful of people who do hard work their whole lives and die sooner, he said. Democratic lawmakers slammed the Republicans' budget proposal. 80% of the Republicans agree with cutting it. I mean, extending out to 67, the age. I don't know about you, but I don't think that the Americans should be forced to work till they drop dead, said Representative Bill Parscreel. Let's go to Amy from Racine. Good morning to you, Amy. You say what?
Good morning. Hello?
Yes. Yes, you're on.
I just wanted to agree with the previous gentleman that had mentioned how the politicians have their own separate account, if you will, for their retirement. I think we need to ask them directly, how do these cuts affect them personally? Because they don't. Not one of them is suffering from inflation. They're not going to have without. So I feel like they don't care, Democrat or Republican. Because they're taken care of regardless.
Sandy and I have been talking about this all morning. You know, we really don't realize and don't know and don't understand what is happening in our name, in our government. And until we can get to that point, you know, I agree with you, Amy. You know, that's what we've got to get. We've got to get to understanding what's happening in our government and then hold accountable the people on both sides of the aisle who aren't doing the best things for you and I. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call, as always. You know what? To me, the obvious thing is if the corporations and the elites would begin to pay their fair share, we'd have plenty of money for all kinds of things, not only entitlements, but all kinds of infrastructure, public infrastructure things. But we're still stuck somehow in this trickle-down voodoo economic mindset. Unless we change that at its core and get away from it and recognize that, you know, the mass is spending the money, is circulating the money, it's growing the economy. But when it's hoarded by 1%, 2% of the populace, that actually shrinks our economy. So, again, my point quickly is if the corporates and the elites paid their fair share, we would not be having this conversation today.
Hey,
and I wish we would stick to that basic fundamental.
Mike, I agree with you totally. Thank you. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Jack, your thoughts.
Good morning. Yeah,
those who are really trying to damage our social net refer to these things as entitlement. I'm going to say they're damn right. We are entitled to things like Social Security and Medicare. They don't understand the meaning of that word, using it in a disparaging way. We paid for these things. I've been working since I was 16 years old at something or another. I have paid Social Security, and my guess is probably, you know, Medicare-based premiums before I ever was eligible for Medicare. Frankly, anybody that wants to take those away from me, I'm going to take the same attitude as the guys with the guns. They're going to have to pry it from my cold dead fingers. I'm going to fight like crazy to keep those benefits. I earned them. I worked for them. I was a high school and college and middle school teacher in parochial, private, public schools, universities for 44 years. I started teaching in 1967, and I retired finally at age 70 in 2011. And the only reason I retired,
I thought you were going to say you had gotten fat from all the money you made.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. Actually, the last couple of years, I did get some pretty generous raises because they were having trouble finding somebody to replace me. They had couldn't find anybody, of course.
I was only joking, Jack. I was only joking, but go ahead.
Yeah, I understand. But they couldn't find anybody to replace me with anywhere near that kind of experience. I designed and I wrote and then rewrote curricula for the basic chemistry class in the school I was teaching in, the advanced placement chemistry class. I also taught other advanced
placement. So, Jack, classes. Then people would ask, why do you even need Social Security?
The answer is that unless I had, and frankly, I got lucky. I got into the market when it was extremely low, and I got some pretty good retirement accounts in addition. I probably would do just fine without the Social Security, but that is not the case for most of my peers.
That's true.
My son tried was going to get into teaching, looked at the salaries, and decided he'd be just as well off doing something he loves. He is now a rock climbing guide and instructor working for Outward Bound, and he's not in the state of Wisconsin, by the way. He just couldn't hack the craziness here.
Jack.
We need.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, finish your point.
The point is, we need people in Congress who are willing to defend these earned benefits, because that's exactly what they are. And there's a simple solution, as has been pointed out already. We need to talk about one thing, raising something, but it ain't the retirement age. It's raising what the best salaried people pay. There's about $150,000. Beyond that, you don't pay anything into Social Security, but you still get the benefit. Excuse me? There's something wrong with that picture.
You sound like Sandy. Sandy, we'll let you respond on the other side. A lot to talk about. A lot of folks on the line. Hang with us. 844-967-2789. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Up next, news, weather, and sports. Baby boy, all because you're my pride and joy.
Pacific Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz says she won't recuse herself from a case about voting on wheels. She denied a request for recusal yesterday, even though the court hasn't decided if it'll take the case. Conservatives are suing the city of Racine, claiming a voting van to collect absentee ballots was illegal. Wisconsin's child care centers are set to run out of government subsidies to keep them afloat in June of next year. After that, Governor Evers says there could be trouble.
I haven't run across any that feel comfortable that they're going to still be in business once this is done. And you think about that, it'll be a catastrophe.
Evers tells Civic Media's Empowered Caregiver this weekend that businesses depend on workers who depend on child care. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. If you live in Eau Claire County, you officially live in one of the healthiest counties in the country. According to a WQOW report, Eau Claire ranked above the national and state average for county health rankings and roadmaps. Health officials credited the quality of health care in the community and the willingness of residents to be engaged in the community. Officials also noted that there's some work to be done in terms of alcohol and drug misuse, and the impending closure of all HSHS and Prevea facilities will hurt overall health. Shane Helmbrecht appeared in an Eau Claire courtroom on Wednesday for a status conference. According to court documents, Helmbrecht was scheduled for a competency hearing before this hearing, but the doctor who met with him did not have all the records needed to review his case. Lawyers for both sides agreed to hold the competency hearing on April 12th, with another status conference a week prior to ensure everything is proceeding as planned. Helmbrecht is accused of killing his neighbor, Jen Ward, in 2016. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Kripescast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Pete Davidson will not be returning for a second season of Bupkis, but it's Davidson who is pulling the plug on The Peacock Show, which is a semi-autobiographical look at his life. Davidson says he wants that chapter of his life to be over, which wouldn't be so bad, except that fans of the show will be left in the lurch since season one ended with a car crash in which his character's fate was uncertain. Not a good sign when even the star of the show doesn't care what happens to the main character. It was a great run for Jeopardy rock star Ben Chan, but all good things must come to an end. The St. Norbert philosophy professor went on a Jeopardy run that saw him finish 16th all-time in regular play with over $250,000 in winnings and 25th all-time with $354,000 in change. In addition to all his winnings, Chan hosted several watch parties in the Green Bay area where he was cheered on by local folks. Thanks for letting us be part of your fun ride, Ben. Now, how about alone? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Light snow will gradually end this morning, and we may actually see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high today, 36, with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 13. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, clouds in the afternoon, 34, with more snow tomorrow night, and that's going to be the beginning of a fairly significant storm system that'll impact our region into early next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Say-
say it's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. Have a good time, 'cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. We're gonna move it slow. When lights are low, when you move it slow, it sounds like a moan, and it's all right.
All right. Welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board. Sandy, you heard from three or four different callers. I didn't give you a chance to respond because we wanted to get them in before we went to break. But so your thoughts about what you heard?
Well, I think they hit the nail on the head. I mean, you have to look at the revenue side. You have to balance this thing out. You have to figure out, who's going to pay taxes on Social Security, who's going to have to pay the FICA tax, and at what level of income. And you know, they shy away from that like that's the political third rail, instead of the question of how much Social Security ought to be changed or modified in its payments. So yesterday on the show, you had a question about oil prices.
Yes, sir.
You want to go into that at all?
Yeah. I did. Yeah, let's go into the oil prices.
Well, you know, I mean, because it's going to be an issue undoubtedly in the election, because oil prices, gasoline prices seem to be going up. And of course, Donald Trump can't say drill, baby, drill often enough, as if it's going to be the answer to gasoline prices. But like all things, it turns out that gasoline prices and oil is pretty complicated. For one thing, as you mentioned yesterday in the show, last year, 2023, the United States had a record level of output. They averaged almost 13 million barrels a day of oil production. Now, they also exported about 4 million gallons a day, meaning that the oil that was being produced in this country didn't all need to be consumed in this country. But the other flip side of that is that we actually imported more oil than we exported. Well, why is that? Well, number one, our oil companies are chasing the highest price, and the higher price for oil is elsewhere in the world. But number two, the kind of oil we produce in this country is increasingly something that's called light sweet oil, and not heavy crude oil, okay? Sour oil. And the refineries of this country have all been created basically to deal with heavy crude sour oil. And we aren't producing as much of that. We import that from Canada and Mexico. And so, yes, number one, we do have energy independence, although the level of use of oil in this country approaches 19 million barrels a day. So we have a complicated situation. But bottom line, the world price of oil is what's driving the price of oil and gasoline in the United States. We're exporting more 4 million barrels a day of oil into that international market in order to reach that price. And the price of oil has gone up because the manufacturers in the cartel, the OPEC cartel, Russia and Saudi Arabia in particular, have reduced their production of oil in order to maximize profits.
So Sandy, if that's in direct opposition to what's been echoed on the right about Joe Biden cutting off the what was the name of the pipeline that he when he came in? It eludes my thought, but it'll come to me.
Well, the pipelines are the basis. They were for importing oil, incidentally. The pipeline he cut off was to import oil, which was the point I was making, that we import oil because that's what our refineries require. Incidentally, our production of oil could go up more, but those who produce oil and those who create refineries have been reluctant to increase capacity because they don't want to have excess capacity, which, of course, when you have excess capacity of oil or any excess capacity of any commodity, it has a disastrous effect as far as the producers are concerned on the price. Excess capacity drives the price of oil down. But, significantly.
But then you set waste to the conversation that Republicans have had about Joe Biden and the oil price is going through the roof because of his policies. And you've constantly always said that that's not the case. You didn't just say that. Now, I've always heard you say that. President of the United States doesn't determine. The market does.
He doesn't determine the price of oranges and orange juice or gasoline and oil, and he has an impact at the margin on it. But quite frankly, the production, those who produce oil and those who refine oil have been reluctant to increase capacity, regardless of whether the president is saying drill, baby, drill. The production capacity will not go up that dramatically because it takes an investment to increase the capacity, and those who invest are reluctant to increase and to create excess capacity.
It's still mind-boggling to me, Sandy, that we are the number one producer of oil in the world, the United States of America. In the short period of time that this has been going on, and yet the American people may not be aware of it, and they're talking about we need to be drilling more in Alaska, we need to be drilling more over here. We're doing pretty much more than what we can do. We can't refine any more than we produce, than we drill for, can we?
No, our refining capacity is tapped out regularly. And so, you know, last year our refining capacity went up by 100,000 barrels a day. But that was there's 132, I think, refineries in this country. And, they aren't going up in number. No one's building new ones. Some people are putting additions on or revising existing capacity. And that's how we got increased capacity last year. A small refinery closed, and one of our other refineries in New Jersey increased its capacity.
You know, Sandy, and so this, again, is one of those things where it's important that people get the truth, right? That people kind of know. And yesterday I was on the show talking about where people get their information, Sandy, on the internet. I can't believe there's so many people who, and again, I get information from the internet, Sandy, but the sources I get them from are a little bit different than my neighbor up the street, you know, who put something on Facebook. And I'm nothing against my neighbor who lives up the street, but I don't think
who goes unnamed. Yeah. But you know, the fact is, you said earlier that this is a time when it's much easier to get data than it was earlier because of all the data sources. But you just put your finger on the problem, which is how do you know which data sources to trust in the internet, and what we're losing are the trusted news media who have, right. They no longer have the staff or the capacity to provide to us and just to essentially curate all that information into pertinent information for us to read. We used to have newspapers to do that with, and we had more and more news. We had many newspapers back in the day that were more or less trustworthy in the data source.
You know, Sandy, finish your point.
But now we've lost that. So now we're stuck with the internet.
You know, Sandy, and the amazing thing to me is there is more news on than there's ever been. I mean, there's 5 hours of news broadcast, maybe more, on each station per day. I'm talking about regular local news. 5-6 hours of broadcast news, and what are you really getting out of that, right? You can watch it over and over and over, and you wind up with the same thing. Let's do this. Let's go back to the phone line. Let's go to Tom. He's back. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, Earl, first off, I'd like to say to people like Dave, what the hell are you talking about? First off, those are earned benefits for Social Security. And if you want to see what Social Security looked like before we had Social Security, go back and look at it before a Democrat, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, brought about Social Security by way of Eleanor Roosevelt and Francis Perkins that built the social safety net. Scrap the cap, knock this crap off. And Dave, if you want, give up your Social Security right now. And all of you people that are older, maybe some of us younger people,
that have actually paid to it not our whole life, and for the younger generation thinking that it's not going to be there, that is an absolute miscarriage of the whole idea of us as the United States. We are not the I states. We are the us states. That means everybody in. And that means anybody that pays or makes over $190,000 a year, start paying your Social Security all the way up to the billion-dollar person that you are. Absolutely ridiculous that we have means testing or anything like this. We need to get money out of politics.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dave, quickly.
I'll just respond to Tom really quickly, and then I want to talk about
I don't like this back and forth. I'll respond to Tom. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so just to let you know, Biden did increase the retirement age for Social Security back in the early 1980s from 65 to 67. Social Security was implemented in 1935, and that age was at 65 then. And consequently, the mortality rate back then was 60 and 62 for men and women. Today, obviously, that number is a lot higher. And so that was my argument for just raising it for an additional 2 years, because life expectancy is almost 20 years higher today than it was back in 1935. Okay. So, and then in regards with the oil and gas, I suggest that you look at the New York Times. It was just announced 14 hours ago. The states are suing the Biden administration because he put the kibosh on any LNG plants being constructed in the United States, liquid natural gas. And that was to help the situation in Europe so we could take the natural gas, convert it into liquid fuel, and then take it over to Europe. And the Biden administration just literally just shut it all down. And to you were talking about the...
Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, they shut it down going forward. There have been several constructed in the last several years. But LNG plants have been controversial forever. They are, first of all, dangerous. They are usually put into places where humans don't reside close to them because they constitute an extreme explosion threat. I was involved in the industry when I was practicing law, and they've always been difficult to construct. But incidentally, LNG and the production of LNG probably increases the price of gas to Americans, right? So it's an interesting problem, and it's an interesting situation. But we do have LNG plants on both coasts, and both of them are operating at the max.
You know, Sandy, the fear again is it's the same thing with refineries. They're in communities where people live, and they cause all kind of mayhem down the road in people's lives, all kinds of cancers and other things that come along with that. So,
well, that's the danger of refineries. The danger of LNGs is well recognized, and the ones that have been constructed are constructed in isolated places on the coast, on the coasts. It's a complex issue.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Our phone lines are open. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. We'll return.
You got soul, and everybody knows that it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Someday I'll find me a woman who will love and treat me real nice. Then my rose got to go, and my love she will know from morning, noon, and night.
And she's got to say it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Have a good time. 93.5
The Tap.
What if there is a murderer walking among us?
Follow the clues. Solve the mystery.
This village really is a place where murder is easy.
Agatha Christie's Murder is Easy, a brand new BritBox original series, is streaming now, adding to the largest collection of Agatha Christie, including Miss Marple, Poirot, Why Didn't They Ask Evans, and more.
The whole collection, it is magnificent.
Stream the best of British TV, only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? Must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer.
All right, welcome back to the Mamas and the Papas. Oh, no, that's not the Mamas and the Papas. That's who is that, Calvin?
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Right.
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. The only other person who would know about Peter, Paul, and Mary is on the line, Sandy, and that's Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, Bill from Oconomowoc, you know anything about Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Oh, Earl, come on, you're stepping a knife in my back. Yes, I am that.
I actually saw them at Summer. I actually saw them at Summerfest.
Really? Yeah. Not recently, Sandy.
Well, they were well into their dotage when they were appearing, so it wasn't long enough ago.
All right.
But what I wanted to bring up about fossil fuel companies, nobody talks about. They are subsidized by the taxpayers, correct me if I'm wrong, to the tune of over $50 billion. They don't want to lose that, because if you figure out the cost it takes to extract oil and then refine it and then produce it for the price it is, am I going up the wrong tree? I'm going to kind of pass the ball to you. What do you guys think? I think they don't want to lose that subsidy.
Well, you're right. The oil depletion allowance is a dirty little secret that no one talks about. It was set up a long, long time ago to promote the exploration and development of oil in the ground, but that incentive is no longer necessary, but has continued to this day and constitutes a huge tax benefit to oil and gas companies, meaning that, and it's one of the reasons why they're so very profitable, because the net cost of generating oil after the tax benefit of the oil depletion allowance is very low.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, as we get ready to wrap up today's show, more than anything else, I guess what I would say that I would love for our listening audience to get out of the conversations we have and what we're talking about is how they need to really be aware and awake with what's going on. And yes, vote, by all means, vote, Sandy, but really be informed about what's going on.
Well, I think that our listeners and voters in general should demand that our politicians not dumb down politics and policy, but they should actually stoke it up. They should up the game in terms of describing and discussing the actual policy issues and not dumb it down to one line quotes that are good sound bites. And I think if we did that, if we demanded that our politicians actually talk about policies, we could get a long ways.
You know, Sandy, policies. You know, it's just nonstop, as you keep hearing on the Democratic side of things. Joe Biden, you should be talking, and Democrats, you should be talking about the policies that you've created during your time. And then the other guy on the other side who hasn't said anything about any policy.
Exactly. And it's a policy vacuum. I mean, Donald Trump's campaign is a policy vacuum that is driven by a personality only, you know? And I think if all of the voters on both sides demanded that their candidates talk about the policies they want to implement and need to implement for the benefit of the country, they'd find that out.
You know, Sandy, if from the onset, you know, as I was, you know, kind of going over the things to discuss, I get frustrated because I do know that there was a time in my lifetime where people didn't get the short end of the stick always from government. And you know, you were in government. There was a time when government did have, and I still think there are some people in government who do have the best interests of the people of this nation in mind. But there's also another segment of the government that does not. And so we really have to be able to discern the difference. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, the way to discern it is to get them to talk about actual policies, to get them to talk about the things that matter to us, and not to have all these shiny objects that we are forced to be distracted by every day by the politicians and by the news media. I mean, let's talk about important things henceforth.
Sandy, I'm in total agreement with you. The news media is as culpable as the people who throw the shiny objects in our face. You know, I watch the news every night, and I'm watching the news, and I'm waiting to hear some real things that, you know, that are going to impact and affect my life. And there's more fluff in the news than there is addressing the real issues. But, you know, maybe they think we don't need to know.
I think they've decided that they can finesse having us know so that they can deal with these shiny objects and continue as they have by operating in the dark halls of Congress rather than the bright light of the public. And that's what we need to change. And so I agree with those who talk about getting money out of politics and minimizing the import of lobbyists and increasing the importance of the voting booth.
Hey, Sandy, great show as always. Thank you. Have a great weekend. I'll be glad to drive home safely because now the rush hour is over. Yeah. Thank you so much. Calvin, great week. Thank you as always, man. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you to the listening audience. We couldn't do it without you. Up next, Jane Mattinier on Air, and Greg Bach. See you guys on Monday.
Must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. It's time to ride
into spring by listening to this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000. Get ready to ride into spring. Civic Media, hometown radio, refreshed. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. After meeting with Secretary of State Blinken in Tel Aviv today, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will invade Gaza.